from all over the world having come together to worship our awesome, wonderful God. And as such, I am starting to get to know that we all have little customs and things that come from our heritage. And over the years, I've appreciated many of these customs. I recently found out that Greek people, when their children lose their teeth, rather than putting them on the nightstand for the tooth fairy to come along, they have the children throw the teeth up on the roof, and then some good things happen the next day. I think that's kind of odd, but it's a custom, isn't it? I also understand that for years I've had a lot of interaction with Korean folks, wonderful people, and come to realize a custom of theirs is to never look too long directly into the eyes of an individual. So Sandra, this would be a little bit too much. I'd have to just a little off to the side. Because that is an aggressive stance. So looking too much, too directly into the eyes of an individual becomes too aggressive. I have come to understand in some of the Asian culture that white flowers are not a good thing to give generally. Because white flowers are associated with funerals. Am I correct? Okay. So I'm learning things. Learning things as I go. The custom that we are looking at today was a Roman custom. It was a custom that came out of the legal system. When a man was found guilty, condemned for a crime, they were put in prison. And what was typically done was that a sheet of paper was nailed to their prison door that outlined the crime that they had committed. It outlined how long they were to stay in jail and what they were to be doing as a prisoner. When the prisoner had fulfilled that debt that was on that piece of paper, they would be led out and led to a court where a judge would notarize that piece of paper stating that that criminal had paid in full his crime and would put a stamp on it. And that individual would take that piece of paper and put it on his person, never ever to let it go, so that if somebody were to come to him or her and condemn them, say, "You are a criminal, you should be in jail," they could pull out that piece of paper and say, "Look, my crime is paid in full. I have done my time." Now, what would happen if there was a capital offense? Of course, a capital offense, they would take that paper which states the crime and the punishment, which was death, and they would take it with them and put that criminal on a cross, the horrible, terrible cross, and nail that piece of paper above the head of that criminal to let everybody know what that person had done. And of course, this morning we've heard that above the head of our Lord Jesus, they nailed Jesus, King of the Jews. Pilate allowed him to be crucified because he saw this man as causing insurrection and is causing it against Caesar, who they viewed as God himself. The Jews wanted him crucified because they felt that he was causing them too much religious pain. That he was changing things and that he was not who he claimed to be. And so they said, "Crucify him and put above his head, King of the Jews." Such a sarcastic sign from both the Romans, because Pilate knew that he was not an insurrectionist. The Jews put it up there in spite of the fact that they knew he was the King of Kings. But in this passage that I want to look at this morning, would you turn in Colossians chapter 2? We see the cross as being something beautiful. It's a difficult thing to say, but it is the truth. In Colossians chapter 2, we read from verse 8 to verse 15 these words: "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the element elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Now listen to the next little few lines. Having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. He nailed them to the cross. When Jesus was put upon that cross, they thought they were nailing their problems away. They thought that by putting Jesus to death, the Romans would get rid of a person who was just an irritant. And the Jews, the leadership there, thought they were putting away a madman, a person who they didn't want to have anything to do. They didn't recognize Jesus for who he was, really, King of all kings. They realized sometime afterwards that this man was not to be put away, that he was going to rise again. And on Sunday, we will rejoice in celebrating his resurrection. But that King of the Jews sign above it really should read all the sins of us as humanity against a holy God. All of God's commandments could be hung above our heads because we should be on that cross. We should be on that cross. We should have been there. And when we look at Christ's death on the cross, we really see it both as a triumph and as a tragedy. It is a triumph because of the torture and the shame with which he had to go through and endure. Not because it was his, but because it was ours. It is also a triumph because Jesus was nailing some things to the cross on that day that nobody recognized at that time. Verse 13, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. What? The record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. So when I think of the cross, I think of what Jesus nailed to the cross for me. Yes, his physical death was horrendous, but the real triumph is that Jesus nailed to the cross some very specific things that relate to you and to me. First thing he nailed to the cross was the condemnation of sin. In verse 13, he nailed our sin to the cross. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Dead in your trespasses. He paid the debt for my sin. And in my sin, I am spiritually dead. But he nailed that to the cross. And somebody said years ago, I really don't know who said it, but he said that our sin, having it nailed to the cross, being it was buried in the grave of God's forgetfulness. I love that statement. My sin was nailed to the cross and was buried in the grave of God's forgetfulness. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are what? In Christ Jesus. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised? Who is at the right hand of God? Who indeed is interceding for us? Romans chapter 8 reminds us. See, the point is not who will try to condemn you or me, but it is who will be qualified to condemn you or me. No one is qualified except God himself. And this is what God says in Romans 8. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. So on that day, several thousand years ago, 2,000 plus years ago, sin, my sin, as I've put my faith and trust in Jesus, was nailed to that cross, because it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Those who put their faith and trust in Christ. Also, that what was nailed to that cross is the curse of the law. Verse 14, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us. They would have understood that clearly as being the requirements of the law. They would have understood the condemnation, because they would have understood that no one could keep the law. And if you broke the law in one place, you had broken all the laws in effect. I love the words. There's three words in verse 13, verse 14, the first part and the last part of verse 14. We see that we are sinners, but the curse of the law is no longer ours because Christ has taken it. He has forgiven us, it says in verse 13. Our debts have been canceled. Our debts have been set aside. And if you look through that passage, verses 8 through 15, something is very important for us to see. It says, in or with him, seven different times. The canceling or the forgiveness, it actually, in some versions, says blotting out. And I like that. Totally no longer being able to be seen or viewed. Set aside. So forgiven, canceled, set aside. Great images of what happens when we are in Christ and we accept his payment for our sins. He did it for us. They're no longer ours. It says in Galatians 3, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, Deuteronomy writes this, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Jesus was made a curse for us. He took the full brunt of that curse which belongs to us. And that curse was irrevocable until it was paid by someone worthy to pay it. And Jesus alone was the only worthy one. So if you're here today and you think that you can work your way into a place of no longer being cursed before God, if you think that being a good person or going to church or being religious, putting money in an offering plate, doing good deeds out in community is going to relieve that curse, it isn't. Only Jesus can relieve us from the curse of sin. And they were looking at sin in light of the law, the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments, seeking to live them out, and the values of those Ten Commandments is good. But those who are seeking salvation through living out those values, it's not going to work. Because we're all sinners, the Scripture says. And that curse is always going to be with us, unless the pure, precious blood of the Lamb, the worthy sacrifice, covers that sin. Another thing that was nailed to the cross was the power, the corruption, the control of the flesh. In verses 11 through 13, we see as well how sin affects us. The flesh is really that inward nature that controls us, that inward nature of sin. And it talks about putting off the flesh. In other words, it's the image of stripping off some old, filthy clothes that are clinging to us, that we can't get rid of, and that they're stripped away, and we're made clean, and we're enslaved no longer to the old nature that was nailed to the cross. Romans chapter 6 says, "We know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we no longer would be enslaved to sin." Today we rejoice and we worship God for being our freedom in Christ. It was nailed to the cross, our sin, and we were raised to new life and new freedom in Jesus. I love this Hebrews passage that says in Hebrews 2, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. On that day, the devil thought he had obliterated God's chosen one. But really what happened, Jesus obliterated the devil and any power that he thought he had. It was done. Destroy, obliterated, that means has no power, no control over us. And the last thing I want to just take note of here as what has been nailed to the cross is the conquest of death. We all live today knowing that there is coming a day that we will die physically. But too many of us in this world don't think about the spiritual aspect of our lives at all, or even enough, and recognize that there is a death that we are in right now. It's spiritual death. There's nothing within us that is spiritually alive. And when Christ died on that cross, for all who would accept his payment on our behalf, our spiritual death was null and void. If we trust him, we become spiritually alive. Jesus was crucified so that we might live. And when we see baptisms, that's what we're picturing. Next week, we get to see a couple of our own people baptized. And that is exciting. Verse 12, it talks about baptism here. It says, "Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead." The power which raised Christ from the dead, which we will see on Sunday, raises every individual from spiritual death. And death no longer has power on our spiritual lives because it was nailed to the cross by Jesus. And by faith, a man, woman, boy, or girl can step into a new life, a living life in Jesus. And there's no greater thing to be thankful to God than to know that we are in God's hands, alive and well. I like the fact that in all of this, where Paul, the writer of this letter, is trying to fight some people who are teaching some clearly wrong things, he says in the beginning, verse 8, "See that no one takes you captive." The world around us wants to take up us captive in the sense of captivating our thoughts, our minds, our wills. And God says here, you don't need to be enslaved to the world thinking. Be aware of this, that when Jesus was nailed to the cross, he nailed these very critical things to the cross with him. And he took them to the grave, that we might have freedom and life everlasting. Today, I hope you'll just take some of those devotional thoughts, ponder them, worship God in them, and let him know how thankful you are for Christ being nailed to that cross, and with him, sin, condemnation, and the power of death. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that Jesus paid the price. He went to the cross for us. What a joy it is to know today that we are no longer needing to be enslaved to the old life, but that we can have freedom. And as it says so many times, in Jesus, in Him, is our freedom to be found. In Him, we gain new life, eternal life with You. I pray that today, if there's anyone in this room who's not yet given their heart to Christ, that they will do it today, because it is today that we celebrate, really, in the tragedy of the death of Christ, we celebrate the joy that is in the death of Christ, that He nailed to that cross our sin and condemnation, the power over sin, and He nailed to that cross the power of death over our lives. And if we'll just trust Him, we'll never be enslaved to it again. Thank You for the blood of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.